You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 19. I'm Logan.
And I'm Jackie. And this episode is unique because it is the first of probably very few that Logan and I were actually in the same place at the same time when this episode was recorded. Logan and I had just completed the St. Jude Country Music Marathon and Half Marathon. And it was great for us to get the opportunity not only to run Nashville, but then to record with Jeff Stevens from the University of Florida Health.
So Jeff works at the University of Florida Health, like Jackie mentioned previously, and he's been working in higher education for quite a long time. We talk about a whole lot of things from running and weight loss to the audiences that Jeff has at the University of Florida. Jeff's unique because he works for a health center. So not only does he deal with students and parents like everyone else, but he also deals with patients. And that's something that he keeps in mind whenever he's doing web and social media in his area.
Yeah, we also talked about conferences and really how effective they can be and using social media effectively when you're presenting or when you're listening. A lot of conferences, people are just taking notes by hand. Other conferences, people are buried in their laptops. They're talking on Twitter. So we kind of talk about the different cultures that these conferences may take on. So we hope you enjoy this episode of Higher Ed Social. Walking around with Logan having an Apple Watch is the funniest thing ever because Logan is trying, he like wants to go in public places so that people will comment on it. So he'll walk around, like basically walking around with his arm out to like.
like he stretches the whole time going, oh,
it's a lie.
My wrist feels heavier for some reason. I don't know why. Or like we went to grab like some at like socks and stuff before the race and Logan used his watch for Apple Pay and like, he's like, wow. I just paid for my phone without my credit card, or for these socks without my credit cards. No response from the cashier. Wow, I just paid with my watch. That's crazy. Like, I wonder what's going on here. Like,
that is totally not what happened.
That is exactly.
That is what happened, according to Jackie.
It was hilarious. Logan is trying so hard to get people. Like,
I was like, "Do you think this thing takes Apple Pay?" And I was like, "I don't know. Let's try it." So I went boop, and Logan, it worked.
Logan. Really,
in fact, Jackie said, "How did you do that?"
I didn't say that. I asked how you hooked
exactly,
it up.
That is exactly how she said it. She said, "How did you do that?"
I just came into the store with the wizard. I did not know this. What is going on here?
But yes, it's been funny watching Logan trying to get people to make a comment about his Apple Watch. But I will say that there is a Tamagotchi-like app that is Apple Watch friendly, and so all my 90s kid dreams are coming true.
So do you feed it by turning your wrist like
this? I still haven't figured
keeping
it out.
Keeping it alive!
I honestly haven't, like, actually played with it. But look, it's a little, like, do the thing. It's a little, guy! Yep, there he is. I made Logan download it too so that they could be friends because that's what my life has come to.
But I got so sad yesterday because I found the company that makes that camera that I put my phone into. They're no longer business. So they're not going to make one for the 6. So.
Oh no, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I emailed Brent and Brent sent me like 6 or 7 alternatives, all of which are 3 times as expensive as the one that company had. And I'm like, oh.
Well, they say that the iPhone 6S, sorry, the cats are now making my life miserable.
We're going to have 6 cats.
6?
We've gone over this in the show.
They're all over Logan's house. Like, anywhere you turn, there's either a child or a cat. Aw, hi, kitty. Mine's at home.
The other ones are hiding in some other room.
Aw.
See, there are other people that have more than one cat.
I only have one. She's wonderful. She's perfect. But we were hoping at some point. Oh, were you going to tell the story, Logan? Sorry.
I've lost it now because a cat like knocked a TV over on me.
Gotcha.
The young boy has taken a liking to Jackie.
Yeah, because I'm awesome.
Yeah.
We're best friends.
He calls her Jack.
We're like, eh. But it's close enough. It's close enough.
Anyway, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Is that alcohol in that cup? We encourage
it. Yes, there's alcohol in that cup.
Yes, I don't have an alcoholic beverage next to me, which is really sad.
Do you just record it all unedited, or do you edit things afterwards?
We edit, fortunately, because our first guest ever was Todd Sanders, who required.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, and look, here's Logan. He can jump through screens. Am I drinking this straight out of the bottle?
Yes, you are, apparently.
I can do it. I'll take a shot of this. Do you have a shot glass? I'll do it. I'll take shots. I'll play the Jeff Stevens drinking game. I'm sure I can make one up as I go.
Beautiful.
Here. Oh. We're watching this cat.
I feel like in the window. That's a lot.
There you go.
I feel like I'm in college again. I'm drinking. No, that's Jeff's cat.
Yeah, there's a lizard in the window right there.
There's a lizard in the window?
Yeah.
Florida that's problems.
Florida problems. Lizards. Lizard. Yeah, we're on a Boy Scouts, and like 2 minutes into the ride, the train conductor goes, "There's an alligator on the left."
Such Florida problems. Well, I'm apparently back in college because I'm drinking alcohol out of a coffee mug. Thank you, Logan.
Anyway, let's try this again. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good. I just took a swig of, I don't even know, what am I drinking? Jim Beam?
Yes.
Out of a Lily Taylor cup.
Yeah, it's got a fox on it. It's so cute. Like I said, I feel like I'm back in college where it's like anything is a cup at this point. Like anything that can hold liquid is a cup and I will drink out of it. Have you ever been to an anything but cups party where you are required to bring your own vessel? That can get creative.
But not, you can't bring a cup.
Yeah, so the whole point of – right. So the college theme is anything but cups, ABC, and you have to just bring some sort of vessel to put your liquid in, but it can't be a cup. So what vessel would you bring to this anything but cups party?
What would I bring?
A pitcher?
That's kind of lame. But I guess you could do it. Technically, it's not
a
cup.
You could bring a shoe.
Shoes are good. Cowboy boots would be fun.
That's a great way to – yeah. Alcohol will definitely take care of the flavor.
I would say if you're going to if you're in college and this is the party you're going to, I don't think you care much about.
You can't wear the shoe again. So a rubber galosh. Rubber galosh.
That would be a good one.
Ready to go.
Yeah, it would have to be something big and that doesn't like easy to hold and that doesn't have holes in it, obviously. I don't know what I would bring. A lot of people would do like Tupperware containers. What else could I bring? Fish bowls, that's a popular one. A vase. Construction hat would be nice. That would actually be a good one. I would do that one. That's a good one. I'm going to take that.
So,
I'm
Jeff.
I'm going to keep drinking out of this mug. Anyway.
So, Jeff, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Jeff.
Okay. So, I keep chewing ice out of my cup, which is a bad thing to do while you're recording me. Hi, my name is Jeff Stevens. I work at University of Florida Health. I'm 41. I've been in higher education now for 15 years, all at the University of Florida for 4 years at the Student of Financial Affairs office, and then 5 years with the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, and just coming up on 4 years with the health system.
Here's another episode of How Young is Jackie? When you started working in higher education, I was 8 years old.
Fine.
My only problems were like what's on TV and like maybe I should get my homework done, but then my mom would like make me dinner. Those are my problems.
Jackie problems.
Yep.
It's the new hashtag.
It's a fun Jeff game problems. Jeff problems.
So anyway, this show is a little bit special because
it is. Jackie, not only because Jeff Stevens is on the show though.
That not only because of Jeff Stevens, but Jackie is in the same geographical location as I am, just in a different room because she's too loud.
All right, that's not the whole reason.
But we ran a half marathon yesterday.
Woo-hoo!
Yesterday being April 25th.
We are way pre-recording this.
We are this episode will air sometime in May.
Yep.
That's probably okay. The first week of May. And we apologize for that because we didn't mean to have an episode that had two parts to it.
Right. So but we had two guests and it went a long way and it was hilarious. There were Southern accents. So part two, we had to split it into 2 weeks worth of podcast. But yeah, so it's kind of interesting because Logan and I are so used to not being in the same room and we're still not in the same room, but we're really, really close.
Yes. So Jackie's in the kitchen and I'm in the junk room. So, sitting in a beautiful Queen Anne chair,
and with my gender stereotype,
with my feet propped up on a treadmill,
and gender stereotypes dictate that. What was that, Jeff?
So many people that we know in higher ed right now are into running and marathons right now.
Yeah, there is a whole group of people that is student affairs professionals, like student affairs runners or something like that on Facebook. And there's a whole group of people in student affairs, higher education, that love running. It's fun.
Are you saying that people that are in the office that also usually houses fitness and recreation enjoy running?
Wow. Well, not only them.
It's Annie.
Because I sure as heck do not work in fitness and recreation. That is for sure.
I work with fitness and recreation. And I don't know. I just wanted to, a year ago, I started running because I got fat and I needed to not be fat anymore. All right. So I started running and 20 pounds later, and then 15 pounds gained and then 5 pounds lost, equaling a total net loss of 10 pounds.
But the 10 pounds is all muscle. The 10 pounds is all muscle now.
Muscle's
No. The holidays, yep.
No. When you run, it goes, no. It's all muscle.
There it is.
All the way down.
Well, I started at 195. I dropped down to 162, and now I'm back up to 175. Well, actually, I went back up to 185, and now I'm back down to 175. So, yeah.
Logan, I think that considering it's now like May, April, you can't really use the holidays as an excuse unless like Easter and Memorial Day count as the holidays.
And actually, no, actually that was, I had lost 30 pounds and then I gained a bunch back to like 20 pounds back over Christmas. And then I lost 10 pounds back. So really I net lost 20. So I can't count.
It's hard. It goes up and down.
Math is so hard.
Well, no, the last time I had a large amount of weight gain, it was the same thing. I lost like 30 pounds and then I gained the 20 back over like the next 5 or 6 months. And it was the holidays again. You get out of it in the holidays. You stop exercising. You go, I'll do it when it warms up. Yes, even in Florida, when you have,
I was gonna say, week. Yeah, Florida.
You have 1 week.
When you have 1 week of 50 degrees and it's cold.
Yeah. Well, I read an article that said that the average American gains 12 pounds between Halloween and New Year's Day. 12 pounds. That's crazy. Like, it's just a lot. It's like, it's mindless. It's because you're always like going to people's houses and you feel like you have to eat the stuff that's there.
And, yeah. And in our case, it was always terrible because we have two families that had Thanksgivings within 20 miles of each other.
There you go. Yep.
We'd have Thanksgiving lunch, and then we'd have Thanksgiving dinner, and we did that for like 6 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. I don't know how I feel about drinking liquor out of a really, really nice mug at this point.
It's a fox. Anyway.
It's really pretty.
Yes, it is. But I don't know. It's been an interesting year.
Yeah, already in May. This is insane.
Time is fast.
Yeah, I mean, I am kind of glad that the semester is kind of coming to an end. It's kind of nice, though I'm not quite ready for graduation yet. For the lonely, sad time that is known as the summer when no students are on campus and no one's tweeting us, and it's very lonely. But I have plenty of other stuff to do that I will do over the summer, so I'm sure I will stay busy. But it's kind of nice because it's been a crazy last 3 months, and, you know, I have seen the light at the end of the tunnel, and I think I've passed through it. And very now good. I'm in the happy, I can take vacation and relax. So I took the last week off, so that was nice. So it's good. Yeah. Just relaxing. Tomorrow's the first day back at work. And to be honest, I felt like I didn't even have a vacation.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I feel rested, so that's good. I just don't feel like I went on vacation because, you know.
That is important.
Because you came back and it just fell right back on top of you.
Oh,
well, no, I just watched a whole lot of Game of Thrones because I got HBO Now. So I watched Game of Thrones and a bunch of movies.
That's what time goes by so fast. You had a vacation. Yeah. You're just like, life sucks. Nobody's gonna have a happy ending.
No, that's the thing about Game of Thrones is is there any happy in the show at all?
No, no. Trust me. But I had a coworker who gave me all 6 books at the beginning of this year. I read them like in a month and a half. And every time you think that it's going to turn a corner, life just gets worse for everybody. Progressively worse and worse and worse. By the end of it, I was just, you know, there was this period. It's weird with television right now. All the shows that people think are great are all so depressing. I mean, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Breaking Bad, all of them are tragedies. All of them have nothing but very bad endings for everyone.
You're right.
But we seem to like really glom onto them and go, this is like the best show ever. I don't know what that says about us as a society right
that
now.
That is a really, really good point. I've never thought about it until you just said that. That's really sad. Like, my favorite shows are Breaking Bad. And like right now I'm really into Scandal. Everyone's dying. Everyone's like backstabbing. It's awful. It's like a super corrupt government, which obviously there are some corrupt pieces of our government. But like, why? Why do I enjoy this so much?
Well, I have to say, I enjoyed The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That was a good show.
Funny, and it was happy. It had a few little racial stereotypes that were a little bit offensive, but beyond that, it was enjoyable.
I'll come back around. I just finished Daredevil, and now I'm going back and watching Downton Abbey now, which I skipped.
That is a show I never saw.
It's got some happy in it, and funny, and serious. It's a mix.
Yeah.
What else did I watch? I watched that movie, The Internship, which was happy, smiled, made me realize that Google put a whole lot of money into that movie.
I'm sure.
Pretty sure they helped write it. What else did I do this week? Just bought a new game that I haven't played yet, but I'm going to save that for next weekend. There was something else that I was going to mention, and I can't think of it anymore.
So I'll change the subject. Well, I was going to ask Jeff, because we had Todd Sanders on the show as our first guest. He's also at the University of Florida, and we talked to him about his position, but you also work at the University of Florida, but in a slightly different role, because you have such a huge campus. How does that work? I come from a very, very small community college, so you're on the other end of the spectrum.
Well, it's funny that Logan mentioned Game of Thrones earlier.
Ooh, no, I feel a tie-in.
It's not really that bad, but generally when you're working at a large institution like this, we have somewhere close to, I think, 50,000 students right now, and we have a large online program that's getting ready to launch as well. We've got 16 different colleges at the university. The 6 colleges that are part of the Academic Health Center make up a Health Science Center, which is not separate from the rest of the organization, but obviously it's got a different shift in priorities because it also has to look at patient populations and so forth.
Right.
So there's always a push and pull in a large institution between centralized resources and then individual colleges making decisions about the material that they're doing. I would say that over the last decade or so, University of Florida has been moving much more towards more centralized IT resources, both from a cost savings, also from a resource perspective, and then also from a personnel perspective. It's very easy that once you get them all working from the same page, it makes the economy of scale across the entire organization a lot easier.
Instead of 6 departments buying the same thing over and over and over again, you can buy 6 licenses for the same thing for a significant discount.
Precisely. So we've seen a lot of centralization of our email support and things like that. And there's also some pushes right now to do centralization of some of our web-based initiatives and trying to get us into a larger content management system. Some colleges do have other content management systems that they're using, but there's a lot more interrelation between people than there was in the past. In terms of between us and Todd, social media kind of is a different beast. University of Florida has a huge social media footprint. I think like 4 or 5 years ago, we were identified as being one of the 5 institutions in the country that had the most Twitter and Facebook accounts existing at the time. From our perspective down the hill at the Health Science Center, we've probably got 120 active accounts across Facebook and Twitter. And those those vary from our very patient-centric top-level sites, which are for the hospital and reaching those patient populations, to individual ones for the colleges, and then also for some of the specific programs that are within some of those units. As far as talking about interrelation of the top-level accounts to ours, that's something that we're still working out how that'll work, because in a lot of ways our audience is fundamentally different. Since we Todd's accounts are primarily student-focused first as this their primary audience, and ours are almost always patient-oriented first, at least for the ones that we directly manage. But we do have a lot of cross-support in that we meet quite often, talk about the initiatives that are happening between the two and how we can support what he's trying to do and vice versa, how he can support things that are coming out of the hospital.
So you two are two pretty big folks there. I think the next person in the Florida trifecta we have to get is Bruce. Then once we have Bruce, then we'll have everybody that matters at University of Florida.
The University of Florida trifecta. Yes. It's like bingo or something.
I would make it clear, one of the things that it comes out a lot with that is people think that I'm in charge of social media at the Health Science Center. And although I do work on social media strategy, I'm not our day-to-day practitioner of that.
Well, I didn't say the people that were in charge of social media. I just said the three most important people at the University of Florida.
Oh, fine. All right.
I'll never call myself
an important person in the system. I'm too humble.
So humble, Jeff.
If people have a question at this point, they go to Todd and they go to Bruce. They're the two superstars.
And you just fly under the radar. Real stealth-like. Well done.
So, but he's Maverick and he's Iceman. You can pick which one of them is Maverick and which one is Iceman. I'm Goose. I'm way back over here playing the piano.
I was gonna say.
That's a smart move.
He's Ice. He's Maverick, and you're General Chang, and you're
General Chang,
and you're cloaked.
That's right.
Bird of prey.
There is.
You've never read Twitter until you've read it in the original Klingon.
Too funny. Good. So what is your favorite social media account? Or not favorite, but I guess what do you find to be the most effective? Because you said you were very patient-centric, which is not something that many of our apparent listeners, our thousands and thousands of listeners, including President Obama, which we've decided, they're not generally focused on an audience outside of students, maybe parents. What do you find to be the most effective social media platform?
So far, we still find Facebook to be the most effective medium that we're reaching out to them. Though, of course, with the drops in reach recently, that might not be the long-term case. We do still have an active Twitter presence, too. And I'd say that primarily most of our efforts are still between those two channels. We've played around a little bit with Instagram. And we're starting to build out a Pinterest channel now as we find women in a household typically make more of the healthcare decisions for the entire family about where they're going to go. And since Pinterest still skews more towards a female audience than a male audience, it's a really great vehicle for sending them this kind of information. So in addition to telling them about the healthcare options that we have available at the hospital, we're also about preventative healthcare measures, about things that they can do before they need to see a physician. We also want to be pushing more about how to have a healthy lifestyle. So pushing healthy recipes through the system, which is something that Pinterest is really well defined towards doing. Also, just giving people a positive outlook, because people that are satisfied with their care, who have happiness and satisfaction, that has a positive impact on their healthcare outcomes. And Pinterest is a good channel for pushing those kind of inspirational messages of hope and care and support. So we're really excited about that. We're working on building that out right now.
That's an awesome strategy. That's something I've never thought about, is because when I think Pinterest, I just think how frustrated I get with Pinterest, because for me, it's a constant mood swing. And I would like to personally thank every single one of the people that I follow, aka my friends, I put that in quote, on Pinterest, because it's a mood swing between triple chocolate layer cake looking so super delicious, then fitness workouts to get rid of that muffin top, and then these really cute clothes with these really skinny supermodels wearing them. And it's just a constant mood swing of like hungry and like dissatisfaction with my body and like trying to get healthy and like clothing and I lose money. It's just hard. But I think that that fits very, very well. And that's interesting. That's very unique to you because I think higher education kind of struggles to fit Pinterest a little bit. A lot of institutions I've seen use it. I've never seen anyone really knock it out of the park with Pinterest, but I obviously haven't done much research on it. So,
well, Pinterest to some extent, I just haven't figured out a great way to use it, if that makes sense, to be compelling, you know, beyond, hey, look, here's storage containers. You could put them in your dorm. But at the same time, when you do that, you're endorsing a product, which I don't, the university doesn't need to be endorsing IKEA, or it doesn't need to be endorsing, you know, Staples or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a thing that, you know, that goes with that. I mean, and I have to admit, I mean, Snapchat's kind of the same thing. I mean, I know other schools are using it in a lot of great ways, but for the amount of time commitment that goes into it, that I would have to take away from Instagram and that I'd have to take away from, you know, our new SoundCloud or YouTube or something like that, where we're really doing awesome stuff. I don't see the full benefit yet of using it. I hate seeing, and I'll one day we may get a Snapchat and it'll be awesome and great and we'll do it right when we do it. But, you know, it amazes me to watch universities or just anything. They're like, oh, 17 to 24, you know, 18 to 24 year olds use it. Well, we need to use it too. Yeah. Whether it makes sense or not, in order for people to do it. You know, I can see, like, you know, someone mentioned to me Periscope the other day, which is Twitter's, you know, kind of mini live streaming app. There's some great opportunities there. At the same time, who wants to sit and watch a shaky camera, you know, because unless I get a tripod and do something like that, which I guess I could do. I don't know. I'm still looking at social networks, but it's every time we add one, we can't take one away.
That's true.
Exactly.
And, you know, when I'm running like 6 social media accounts on top of that, you know, not, you know, and 6 Facebook groups, it's just.
That's not enough, Logan. Yeah. That's why we've been kind of cagey with moving into new channels at UF Health. Mm-hmm. We sit in a unique position when you look at a higher education institution, because just like when we say that communications and web normally has that dotted line between communications and marketing, mm-hmm. at the Health Science Center, you've got this whole academic side. You're training students and you're bringing them in to become the next physicians.
Right.
But you've also got this whole healthcare side where you're actually competing in the healthcare market with other hospitals and other medical systems in the area. So you have this very business-oriented kind of thing over here. Even though it's still a nonprofit, you have to promote your services to bring in those patients that can interact with the students, so that you can give them the expertise that UF Health has to help them with their health care. And so that really puts us in an interesting position that we look more also at what happens outside of higher education and social media and doing that application. We've been experimenting around with Periscope the last couple of weeks, too, and we haven't yet figured out a good long-term use case for what we do for it. It seems like a great thing for doing some behind-the-scenes kind of things and doing a little few small things like that. But a lot of times, it's one of the reasons that we haven't really built up an Instagram channel when you're working in healthcare. We then are now involved with the questions about HIPAA whenever we go out to take photos wherever we go. So even if we have a lot of great events in the atrium of our hospital where we have musicians from various high schools and bands outside, and even sometimes theater troupes that come in and put on performances in there for patients. They're very short, normally like 15-20 minute performances and recitals. But it's hard to get in there and film or show that because there's patients all around
those
events that are happening. Doing some still photos, that's very easy to do. But if we were going to say we're going to go down there with Periscope and do live filming, we'd have to get a really tight cropped shot and in the right direction, that nobody's going to walk in behind them, that we'd have to worry about that. And that adds so much difficulty to saying we're going to do that, then you just have to really wonder how much value you're going to get out of doing it.
Exactly.
I just gave actually a presentation a couple weeks ago at a conference. It was for Alpha Phi Omega, which is just a co-ed community service fraternity. It's a national organization. So I was in front of a lot of different students from a lot of different campuses. We were talking about branding and how branding is applied even to a school's chapter of this organization. And I made up this quote that said, you know, I'm definitely going to pledge Alpha Phi Omega because they have 3 social media platforms and this other organization only has 2. No one says that. No one is counting the number of social media platforms that
I know. They're looking at the color and the logo. Those are the 2 things that they're looking at. That's what makes the decision as far as what the brand, you know, if I'm going to choose this brand. I mean, when I'm walking through the store, I look at Heinz mustard and I look at Heinz ketchup and Hunt's ketchup, and I'm like, I like Heinz logo better, so I'm going to buy theirs.
I think you're the only person that makes an active decision about ketchup like that.
I was being sarcastic. It's
the way I purchase wine and beer is label. I don't know how they taste at all, but if they have a graphic design, I buy them.
Listen,
that often bites me in the butt.
The whole don't judge a book by its cover quote, I think, is not very true in a lot of situations.
But Jeff, see, once you make that kind of blind choice, though, then Scott Stratton's wonderful quote comes in, you know, a brand is the 2 things you do with a brand is you remember your most recent experience and your most extreme experience. And, you know, whether it's good or bad, that's what you think the brand is.
That's true. If Scott Stratton is listening, I've never bought a beer with a QR code on the back of.
Thank you. I will throw that out there. I will agree with you. I don't know how many beers I've seen with a QR code on it, though.
I knew someone that the other day was at a conference. I'm not going to name names about the conference or anything like that, but she created a Facebook page where she pulled the most selective tweets from conference goers. Not tweets, but yik yaks.
Yes.
From conference goers. And it painted the conference in a really bad light. Really,
I also saw that. Yeah, I saw that review. And I only read 1 article about it. So, you know, that could have been a very biased article. I feel like it probably was. Just to get the gist of what was going on. And it's like...
Well, yeah, I'm sure it was a selective group of tweets that were from
right.
the conference.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the feeling that I've ever gotten from going to a conference, though, before. So,
so what you're saying is that Yik Yak is the new Twitter back channel.
But it's so messy. You can't, like, following a back channel on Twitter is so easy. You just follow along a hashtag. I would not be able to follow. If I had to Yik Yak at a conference to get, like, some really nice, like, opinions or discussions based on based on presentations, no way. I would get too dizzy. I would get
you mentioned here. I actually have a constructive content there, and it's how can I meet you? Oh, look for the guy in the yellow hat.
Are you the one that upvoted me or downvoted me? I'm not really sure. Yeah, no, thank you. I'm good. Yeah, Twitter is great for that. I really appreciate it.
I don't know. You can use. I imagine there's some way you could use Yik Yak in that way, especially if you're in a quiet town, and everyone's in the same location.
Well, Jeff, you're the conference pro. Would you be able to somehow incorporate a Yik Yak back channel into your presentation? I challenge you. I would like to challenge you to that.
I'd have to pre-schedule Yik Yaks.
Yeah. Yeah, how is that possible? Is that possible at all? Is that something that you
this
do?
This presenter is on point.
Yo, upvote. Just upvoting yourself the whole presentation, really, is you would just be upvoting your own yaks. Because no one sees who upvotes you or downvotes you.
I'll just find the pre-selected, my takeaway, my golden ticket takeaway from the presentation. And then upvote it 200 times before the presentation begins.
There you go. And it's like, wow, how did these people predict like what you were going to talk about? That's crazy.
We should do an experiment. And then downvote actual better quotes from the conference and repopulate those in too. And see if that affects how people feel after the conference.
That would be interesting. Like what people consider their takeaway from the conference based on Yik Yak.
Yes.
Exclusively. Yeah, I think our next conference, whenever that may be, that is what we should do. We should try to make some constructive conversation on Yik Yak amongst all the ridiculous chatter of like, yo, where my boy at tonight, dog? Where the party at? Kegger. Drink, drink, drink. Chug, chug, chug. ABC party. Woo! So is that something that you do as well, Jeff? Do you incorporate like actual Twitter back channels into your presentation? I only ask because you are really, in my opinion, a presentation pro.
I've tried. I want to get better at it. There's actually a tool that you can add to Apple Keynote that when you're running through a slide presentation, when you trigger a slide, it will send a pre-selected tweet along.
What's that
called? I can't remember because for the longest time I've not had the operating system specs in order to run that particular version of Keynote. So what I've been doing is that I've been doing a very low rent version of it where I would estimate how far into my presentation it should be and used Hootsuite to pre-schedule the tweet to go.
That
almost really didn't work that first conference I tried it at. As a matter of fact, we were at lunch and I was supposed to get my presentation right after lunch, and Logan tweeted back to one of the things that was supposed to go off in the middle of my presentation. I went responding to that. I shouldn't
wait
have said
a minute.
And I went, oh no, I didn't take the time difference into account.
Oh.
An hour too soon. And so I pulled out the computer and I'm rapidly trying to change all of them in like 5 minutes, going, no, 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 don't send that yet. No, no, no.
That is okay. So, presentation tip, if you're going to incorporate a back channel, you can tweet on your own. And there are, for all of our non like super plugged in social media users out there, there are a lot of tools that you can pre-schedule your tweets. And Jeff was using Hootsuite. But yeah, pro tip, don't forget your time zone.
But I think it's a great idea for the people who are on the Twitter back channel, because then you can take, you know, we'll have slides where we'll say, according to this report, this statistic or this fact. You can put that in the Twitter back channel and just give them footnotes that are going along with your slide. And so if anyone's following, they don't have to grab it from that slide or go and find the slide. They could just go to the channel and get the links right from there.
Or do my favorite thing that I've seen a lot of people do, and actually take out their phone and take pictures of all the slides.
Yes.
Which I would hate. Like, I could not flip through my camera feed and be like, look, these are all, like, this was my family vacation. Oh, that was Jeff's slide. Let me just delete this.
I would say, you know, now I guess it's 5 years now since I've actually started going to conferences. I've now realized I don't need to do that anymore, that people are going to put that slide deck up online and I can just listen and I'll be able to find it afterwards or get in contact with them. I think the thing that took me the longest to realize is when I'm actually presenting in a room, if people are looking down in their phones, that means I'm not doing a bad job. The first time I did it and I couldn't maintain eye contact with anyone in the room, I thought I had lost the interest of everybody that was in that room and nobody was paying attention to me anymore. It took until afterwards for me to realize, no, they were actually tweeting.
Tweeting about you or talking, you know, talking in the back channel.
If they're actually not looking at the phone and looking up at me, then that's when I went, oh no, I said something.
A little concerning, yeah.
I said something they don't.
They're like, there's nothing, there's no quotables here. Like, I need something quotable that people will tweet. And that's actually what I've noticed is very specific to the conferences that are closely tied with marketing or social media or even web, is that those people, like you just said, like, you want people looking down at your computer. And I've been to other conferences within the higher ed realm that are not specific to marketing. And I'm still, you know, in that mode. I'm still tweeting about it. I'm still looking, you know, if people are citing different resources and things, I'm looking those things up as well. And I'm the only one in the room doing it. And so that's very unique to this field, is that, you know, if heads are down, it's normal to get 90% of the people looking down at their phone or down at their laptop because they're talking about you, about what you're talking about on Twitter.
And it's weird to see that cut. Sometimes it's based off of jobs. Sometimes it's generational at a certain thing. But then when you get to a conference where people are actively online, other people in the room will get distracted by it sometimes and complain about it afterwards and say, I'm tired of people typing all the time during this presentation. They need to be paying attention. And it's an interesting dichotomy, because I know different people have different different ways of learning. Mm-hmm. And so for them, that can be distracting and do that. I actually read a suggestion somewhere where they said, can we just get all the people who type on this side of the room so then the people who don't will be over here and they can concentrate?
All the people who type are going to be behind the soundproof wall so that we can't hear you clicking. And then everyone else is going to be on the other side of the room. But it is weird. The first time I ever attended any type of conference with that had a marketing focus, aka everyone was on Twitter, I looked around and I was ready to handwrite some notes, really. And everyone's on their laptop. Some people are like juggling their laptop and their iPad and their phone all at the same time. Like, and that's a whole nother world, is how to multitask note taking, paying attention, and being involved in the discussion on Twitter.
I can't do that.
That is a skill that I have not acquired.
I use Twitter as my note taking tool while I'm there, and I went to that. The thing that I'm impressed with is people who manage to do that, and then the day after the conference, write a huge blog post about everything that they learned from the conference and all of their takeaways. I can't do that. I need to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say, I swear they don't sleep after a conference, these people.
And then after 18 hours, when I go and I read them all online, I go, well, why do I need to write it? They've all written it already. I'm just going to point to those and go read these because they're right. And that's
just
great.
Copy-paste paragraphs from everybody's post, give accreditation.
Give it a Storify.
Exactly. That's
your, I should title it, My Takeaways from Other People's Takeaways.
I Think I Went to This Conference Too, by Jeff Stevens.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have for this week, unless we want this to be a two-episoder.
Not again.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. We really enjoyed having you today. Everyone, don't forget to find links to the information we talked about today and all that kind of fun stuff, including a link to the Keynote tool that we talked about earlier on highered.social. If you love the episode, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or on the website. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @HESPodcast and send us a message. We're looking for people to be on the show, so we'd love to have you.
Have a good night.
Thank you, everybody.